It's Saturday morning and time now for the Coach's Corner on Thunder Country KIIC. The Coach's Corner focuses on the world of sports with special emphasis on local sports with interviews from coaches and players. The Coach's Corner is brought to you each and every Saturday morning from 9 until 10 a.m. live from the lobby of the Community First Credit Union in Albia or wherever our journeys may take us. The Coach's Corner is brought to you by Community First Credit Union and Menards, where you can save big money. And now live, it's the Coach's Corner.
Hi, welcome to the Coach's Corner. Regular season is in the books, and we're going to relive and rehash last night. But I know right now everyone's ears are set to these speakers to find out who Albia is going to be playing this Wednesday as the Blue Demons open up playoff play for the second time in 3 years, undefeated in the regular season. Big D, we've got the pairings, and yeah. Sheraton's in, Albia's in, Pella Christian's in, Moravia, Twin Cedars. We have these pairings. We're going to go through them, and we're gonna give to them here in a little tease, have them hold on. But some things I think are going to be a little surprising.
Yeah, you know, it's been real interesting the last few years here when they don't pair up sister districts, and so it creates for a lot of excitement, quite honestly, for those of us outside the teams, because you can kind of guess and make some estimates. And I know there are a lot of people who are tired this morning because they stayed up
till 1:30,
right? Trying to wait for the pairings, and they weren't even out by one yet. So I know a lot of folks just finally gave up. I saw some people at Casey's, they finally went to bed before the pairings. So a lot of them, yeah, they're just getting the sleep out of their eyes or wanting to hear where the pairings, who's playing where.
Well, we're going to have Coach Staten in here. Coach Huber's in the house. Coach Farrington's here. And we're going to talk about last night's Albia win. But we want to get to those scores from last night and also take a look at those pairings. And we'll set up what you can expect to see and hear on Wednesday night. Dan, you got the Friday Night Lights big board pulled up on your Thunderbolt app. Why don't you help me out with these scores from last night? Some important games that... The scores mattered last night for Sheraton big time, and the win was wanted by all the teams that were in contention for that fourth seed out of that district. But it came down to who scored how many points, and Sheraton gets in.
Yeah, Sheraton does. It gets in as a fourth seed. Albia last night, I'm just going to down the scores here. Albia last night, 50-0 over Clark. Centerville CMB in our district, that winner was going to be a four seed, so it was basically a playoff game for them. CMB wins that game 20-13. North Polk comes up short against PCM 35-18, so PCM is the two seed out of our district, North Polk the three seed. Davis County, Keokuk, 47-0 Keokuk. Davis County goes down in defeat in their last game. Ottumwa, a playoff game win, and they continue on, but they come up short 20-45 against Cedar Rapids Prairie. As you mentioned, Sheraton certainly wanted to get a win, but they're playing a powerhouse in Pella last night. They come away with a loss, but get into the playoffs by virtue of a point differential system. But they lose to Pella 63-13. It's only the second time in their history they've given up over 60 points in a contest. So Sheraton's very proud, rich tradition, is looking to represent well when they get to the playoffs. Carlisle, 36-15 over Oskaloosa. Again, playoff implications for that district in 3A. Norwalk-Knoxville. Norwalk wins 42-19. Clear Creek, Amana beats Fairfield 41-14. Eddieville, Blakesburg, Fremont comes up short against Columbus Junction 68-22 is that final. Sitting in Kyoto, Coach Jensen, we talked to him last night. Big win, big game for them, playing West Marshall 26-0. So he's got that team rolling well for the playoffs.
Next game, Dan, is one that that I was really impressed with.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a moral victory for Pella Christian last night at all.
No, Coach Kat Kamirinsky is not going to talk about moral victories. But for me, you know, when you lose to Iowa City Regina 31-14, they had, I think it was 5 turnovers Pella Christian did. You know, you eliminate some of those mistakes, you got an opportunity to beat, obviously, the favorite in that class. So they've got to feel good today about their playoff future's bright. They just got to correct some things and execute a high level. And they can do some really fun things in this postseason.
Well, they've played some of the best already, so they've already sharpened that iron up pretty darn sharp. Two number one teams they played in this, along with that tremendous district.
Yeah, out of the three losses, yeah, they lose the two number one teams, so that's not a bad schedule. And I know Mid Prairie Wellman, I think, was the other team they had, and so they're battling some really big programs and taking on all comers.
You talk about big teams on the schedule. How about the first week? Now this is the year that Albie's had, folks. 50-0 last night, and we'll keep the scores coming, but. A running clock in every football game in the regular season, only one football game, the first football game against an A school, is the only game that the game did not finish
right.
on a running clock. That's a domination. And that team that held us to the non-running clock at the end of the game, but I think it was a 26-point victory for Albia,
right.
they beat Pleasantville. Now, Pleasantville,
number four ranked at the
yes,
time.
And uh-huh. Pleasantville wins last night 69-6.
Uh-huh.
And Mount Airy went on to be undefeated the rest of their season, Dan, with domination as well. So some of our schedule looks pretty tough compared to what maybe it looked at from just a pairing standpoint.
Yeah, well, each Friday night gets a little hard to see the forest for the trees there. And as you look back now at the season, you really can appreciate the quality of our schedule. And as Coach always talks about, it's the one they give us, so we just got to play it. But I liked our schedule from the get-go 2 years ago when we got the new district assignments and the non-district games. Really thought they were going to pair up nice for us, and they've proven out the last 2 years.
How about Centerville last night? I won't face these scores. I keep interrupting
yep,
you. How about Centerville last night? You know, they were playing for a playoff berth, and kudos to the Big Red. Coach Evans, great. Great guy down there, and we respect their program quite a bit. And of course, we have friends down there, and it just it was right there to the very end. They had a chance to make the playoffs and beat CMB, and nearly got it done.
You know, and effectively, it was a playoff game for them, and so they certainly had that atmosphere going for them last night. But unfortunately, finished the season down there against CMB. But you know, they had a chance, and that's what you want at the end of the year, is to give yourself a chance to try to play that next game. Continuing on with some of the scores, Central Lee down in the southeast of us here, number one seed out of their district, wins big last night, 51-8 in a non-district contest there, but they are the number one seed out of their district, a potential opponent down the road for the Blue Demons if things work out well. You already mentioned Pleasantville, big winner over Clarinda Academy, 69-6. Wayne, our folks over there, we get Kevin Comer broadcasting that on the stream there on the Quattro. Wayne, big winner, 64-6 over Lamoni.
8-1 season, Wayne, the Falcons.
Yeah, close, and the only loss was a close one there with Moravia. So that's when they know they're playing some really good competition when they can battle like that. So that's two great teams out of that district that should represent well in the playoffs. And Moravia,
now they squeeze in
89 squeaks by in their final game, 89-6. So that's something we'll talk to Coach Frankton about, how maybe we can try to work on that. That's 89 is possible. Mormon Trail, 72-0 over Melcher Dallas. Twin Cedars, as you mentioned, got in the playoffs, and boy, did they do it in fine style over Harmony, 72-0. So big game there in 8-man for Twin Cedars. So good job there, Coach Osbaugh, and his program and his players. North Mahaska comes up short against Iowa Valley, 28-15. And again, you could hear that last night streaming on fifth stream on KICradio.com.
And Pekin last night, that was a little bit of a surprise. Winfield Mount Union with a win over Pekin 16-12, and Danville at 47, Waco, Wayland 14. That'll run through our scores here on the Friday Night Lights big board. And, so here's who's in. Let's run through who's in from the area. You start with Sheraton. Sheraton is in, Dan, and that congratulations. I was a little surprised. I think their first winning season, and I could have this wrong, so apologize to my Charger listeners out there. I think it was 2006, the last winning season.
I believe that's right.
And so, you know, and you think about the great football that's been played over there, and that's a long stretch of not having a winning season. And this year they get an outstanding player by the name of T.J. Hawkinson around a great group of guys. I mean, it's a really good football group of guys, and Coach Smizer gets them into the playoffs. And you know, they're on the headlines a lot, which is, you know, from a small town, it's a celebration of community. And so congratulations to the Chargers, and they will get who, Dan Stocker?
Oh, you do this to me when I'm.
So I saw you scramble there. I saw the sweat beads forming up there, buddy. I
got
it if you need
Gilbert.
It.
I'm doing that off of
usually,
memory.
Usually, buddy, I'm going to.
We were thinking Dallas Center Grimes last night, but they end up losing. So Gilbert, I believe, is who they're matched up against this coming.
Yeah,
week.
Gilbert 8-1. Yeah. So yeah, you find that last year, there was two first round teams that got beat, fours defeating ones, and so congratulations, Chargers, you're in. Let's move. I've got you got yours pulled up, Dan.
Well, I'm getting. You tell me what class you're going to go, because I got
let's go class like class 1A, and we want to find out where Sigourney and Pella Christian are headed to.
Yeah, Pella Christian again ends up as the 3 seed out of that district, so they're going to travel to Wilton. 5-4 Wilton. Pella Christian ended up 6-3. Again, two of those three losses are to number one ranked teams in both 1A and 2A. So really got to think Pella Christian. I would feel like they're going to have an advantage, even though they're coming in as that 3 seed and have to travel. But should be a good game for them. And then Sigourney Kyoto as the 2 seed, Hudson has to come down to them. So 7-2 Hudson team coming to Sigourney Kyoto, who's 6-3 on the season.
And let's go to eight-man football. Some of the funnest football that you can watch. It is, look at that.
Scotty Fry. He's going old school. We got paper, pen and paper now. Thank you, Scotty. You're a man.
I got all my Apple products over here, my watch, my phone, and my pad. And Scotty goes, here, have the paper. Yeah, you know, I just took a hammer out and put it in some stone
what
here for you
this?
Guys.
This is weird. yeah, and eight-man, we got a lot of teams representing the area here. Certainly, we've got Wayne. We mentioned Coach or Kevin Comer broadcasting those games for us. Wayne at 8-1 will host Colo Unesco at 7-2. Moravia, they big season 9-0, perfect. They get 3-6 Murray, so that's a great way I think for them to start the postseason run and hopefully get that win Wednesday and continue on. Twin Cedars gets in last night, and they will travel to Lenox. Lenox 8-0 on the season, so good season from them. And Twin Cedars will have to take on a tough one to start with. But, again, Coach Osbaugh, you know, is going to be ready to take them on and go. Also in that district, not necessarily one we cover, but Mormon Trail is going to travel to HLV Victor, 8-1 team. So Mormon Trail, Garden Grove at 6-3 out of that same district with Moravia and Wayne and Twin Cedars.
All right, let's get to the drum roll and what everyone's been waiting for. And that is Valley. Who Valley is playing? Oh, wait, no, that's not what we're waiting for. Let's take a look here and find out who is going to be Albia's next opponent. But, Dan, one of the teams that we had our eye on was South Tama.
Yeah.
And I think the pairings, as we break these out here, Big T last night. Big T had a pairings he had his little party at his house last night, and they were all gathered around waiting for those pairings to come out. I'm not sure if they've even got to bed tonight.
Probably not.
Morning.
You know, because they come out late. And, again, I've heard from a number of folks who were gathered trying to wait and see, and some couldn't make it all the way to, I think, 3 o'clock before they got finally posted. But yeah, I'll be obviously he's going to host 9-0, perfect season.
But South Tama is going to take on Kemper Carroll Catholic. Here's some games I think that, and we'll get to Albia. Yep. PCM Moore is going to take on Mid Prairie Wellman. That's a great lineup. And then here's the telling ones, and this is the ones that I think tell the story, and that is a Mediapolis.
Yeah, Mediapolis is going to travel. The 4 seed out of that district is actually going to their district, so taking on Central Lee, the district champion. So they've already faced each other. Central Lee won that game early in the season. Central Lee's only loss, I believe, was to Eliza Muscatine earlier in the year, but they're the district champs, so they're going to have a rematch there at Central Lee. So that'll be Mediapolis, who was actually who we thought Albia might face.
Yeah, and that kind of tells me, tells T, who told me, who now I'm the one who really thought of it.
Yes,
that maybe explains Albia's seeding. We'll talk about that, but Dan, Albia gets.
Iowa Falls Alden will travel down here. And what's interesting, it depends on the app you use and what we're looking at. 125 is the mileage limit the state puts down. My app tells me it's 124 miles.
Well, you're still using that Android device. iPhone is 134 on the short side. If you want to take the shortest distance, the quickest distance is 154 miles. So
everything's short with you, so I don't.
Huber, don't encourage him. Coach Huber's over here. He's giggling.
But what I think that really shows, Iowa Falls Alden is a 4-5 team, plays some really good opponents. But given a record, if you want to look at that, you know, I think that's a nod to the Albia program trying to find a team.
Do you think that's and I think Tim, it really is Big T's idea, but he's, you know, he thought that maybe they were really trying to set up, the state's trying to set up the scenario where South Tama and Albia don't face each other. And so you start to put the pairings and to put the matchups in a place that and so you think about the mileage being the precursor, then maybe the seeding, ones and fours and twos and threes, and then do they maybe in the – they're sitting there and they're dividing these teams out based on their own seedings from top to bottom so that they're not – they're getting those top, you know, teams that they consider to be the top four teams or – in Albie's case, maybe they have Albie at number one, that they want to keep number one and number two away from each other for a while.
Yeah, and what's nice, the way they've done it the last few years is, you know, there really isn't a bracket like there used to be. You know, it's just a matter of doing seating. So the next round, the winner of the 1-4 will take on a winner of a 2-3, and they're going to look at mileage. So it's not really like a bracketed format, so they can kind of mix and move around, which makes it nice. And again, with Central Lee as a one seed, that's usually who you face third round. That's who I think you would be looking at us facing eventually, and that allows a Southam Albie game, if it ever occurs, to be done at the Dome.
Albia and Iowa Falls, we've got Coach Staten sitting next to us. But Coach, before we get to the playoffs, let's rehash a little bit that was last night. Congratulations, the second season, second perfect season in regular season in 3 years. That is consistency, and congratulations to your program and your coaches and your players.
Well, congratulations to the coaches and players is right. They set a goal way back in our breakaway after our camp that they wanted to be district champions, and they reached that goal. So every week there's a new challenge, and you play the most important game on the schedule, which is the next one, and these young men have pretty much followed that guideline, and the coaches have stayed with that. We haven't looked ahead to anybody. We just take up who's next and get after them.
Defensively, you guys through the entirety of the season have gotten better. And Coach, one of the words one of the things you talked about that Saturday morning after Mount Air, and I thought Mount Air was a very good football team, and Dan and I both agreed that they'd be a team that would find its way back to the Dome as well. But one of those things you talked about on that Saturday morning after that game was that this team needed to play with more enthusiasm. Both sides of the football can play with need to play with great enthusiasm, but the defense really requires that, Coach. And so I've thought this defense week in and week out has continued to improve on not only on the physicality in which they play it at, the mental side of it, but with great passion and enthusiasm. And it's really shown here the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, we have played some very good football teams on our schedule. A lot of people take a lot of interest in what class are they in and or what are they ranked, and those are not important factors. What kind of football team do they have? What kind of football program? Mount Air is two classes below us, so there are people who think, well, that's an easy victory, but that's a class program, and they've been that way for many years. They got a great coaching staff, and you know, they're back in the playoffs and ready to roll, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them back in the Dome. Bella Christian, they lost to two number one ranked teams and are a fine football team, and they're healthy now too, which really helps. So you don't look at records, you don't play the record, you don't play the rankings, you play the players that are on the field, and that requires you to be enthusiastic, and we play best when we are enthused and doing that. But going beyond that, we now have preparation time for the next opponent, the most important game on our schedule, the next one. And we have two coaches that really don't get the recognition that they deserve, but they're certainly appreciated by our coaching staff. One is Neil Mick, who hauls all the equipment down, sets up the video equipment, gets the huddle films from the next opponents out to us in our last game, and just an unsung hero. Gets the helmet pumped up at the end of the field. He doesn't shoot the cannon off, but he probably would do that too if we asked him to. But certainly a very valuable coach, and he's a servant warrior. He doesn't seek attention. If you don't watch him, you wouldn't know all that he's doing. But his feet are always busy around getting things set up or taking them down, and those things don't just run out there by themselves. They got to be set up. The other one is Nick Kroll, who breaks down our film, and he already is at work getting the tendencies of our next opponent, and these are things that happen behind the scenes that most people don't know about, but certainly are appreciated by our coaches, and I want to give a big attaway to those two coaches.
You know, Coach, and I was leads in right where I was going to talk too, is With the short turnaround, how important is it to have the technology that we have in huddle? And you already referenced the coaches, and my hats go off to them as well for all the work they do. But to be able to break down that film today, I know you've got practice scheduled later today, so that you can kind of have some, at least an initial game plan coming into the contest here, tonight's practice.
Well, film or videotape is a big aid. Like right now, we're also looking at us. There are some things that we need to clean up. You know, you either get better or you get worse. You don't remain the same. And we have too many penalties, 10 penalties. Yeah. Two of those were mistakes on the parts of the officials. They could not figure out that we had 7 men on the line of scrimmage on our extra points, and they kept penalizing us. And finally, I drew a picture and showed the one guy on our side, hey, this is how it works. And then they quit calling us for not having 7 men on the line of scrimmage. But the others were things that we did, encroachment, you know, jumping the snap count, two blocks in the back by players who were out of the play. Our guy with the ball is 20, 25 yards down the field, and back upfield, they're blocking somebody in the back who can't get to the ball. Those are foolish penalties that have to be eliminated. As you move forward, you want to keep going forward in the playoffs, you better not be doing things like that. And we had two fumbles, lost one of them, and you got to take care of the football. There wasn't any wetter on our side of the field than it was on theirs, so the dampness of the field is not an excuse. We don't make excuses, no alibis, and we just got to do a better job of taking care of the football. So we have things we can do to work on, and then we after we look at us, we look at the next opponents. And what are their tendencies? Every team has tendencies, and some coaches just don't go away from those tendencies. And I'm one of those coaches. If there are certain situations, I'm going to do what we do. We're going to be us. We're not going to try and reinvent ourselves. And yes, I know other coaches know that we do that. They still have to stop it. So we need to know what their tendencies are. And almost had the dream game. Yeah. If Roland Story had the ball first down goal to go on the 3-yard line and didn't get the ball in the end zone, which speaks to the defense of the of our next opponent. But that would have been so cool to get to coach against my grandson, but it wasn't to be. And I've had a verbal scouting report from my son, who has coached on the college level and helped us coach, and he has given me some ideas and information about our next opponent, and the process begins. You know, we didn't get home until real late last night, and by golly, after 4 hours sleep, you get up and you start into the grind of getting ready for the next opponent. We will have a coach meeting this afternoon, and the players will get together, and we'll have a walkthrough, and we'll tell them this is what the opponent does. This is their strength. Here are some areas we think we can attack, and we set our game plan up for that. But today, yes, there is a practice, but it's just to get their legs back under them and rest them up a little bit. It is Saturday, but not in football terms, because the game comes on Wednesday, not on Friday. So you have to start thinking different in your head. We all have an internal clock. I will, after 6 hours sleep, I get up. I'm ready to get up. And I don't plan it that way. That's just the way I am inside my body. Well, our players have an internal clock, and we have our routines. And the thing is, you got to get back in that routine when it's not really the day that you normally would be doing that, if that makes sense to the people who are listening. But the game comes around really quickly, and you better be ready to go, both mentally and physically.
Coach, what are those the key things that you guys will be talking to your guys about in this first week of, or this week of practice?
Well, we've always said that more teams beat themselves than get beat. And you have to, number one, know what your opponent is going to do and what you can do against them. That has to happen. You have to know their tendencies, and that comes from the film breakdown and the scouting reports. The next thing is you have to go out and play the game correctly. Don't beat yourself. If you want to move on, then the team that makes the fewest mistakes normally wins. It's not always the best team or the most talented team, but the team that makes the fewest mistakes. So we're going to work on concentration, focus on our assignments, just do what we have been doing, clean up the things that need to be cleaned up, guard the football, don't make needless blocks. If you're 20 yards down the field and our back is moving away, don't block in the back. Run in front of the guy if you have to, but just to hit somebody in the back to be hitting somebody is foolish. And games can be won or lost on situations like that.
Head coach of the Albion Blue Demons, victorious last night 50-0. Iowa Falls on Wednesday night, first round of the playoffs. And we're going to take a timeout, come back, and talk with Coach Farrington and Coach Huber. Also, Coach, we're going to catch up with Coach Denny Whitlow real quick and from Moravia. Coach Chrissy Stringfellow is going to stop by. And they're on a run right now, so they're going to stop by after their run, and they're going to stop by and talk about the cross-country team. And then we're also going to have Coach Todd Ratliff. We have got a lot to get done, Dan Stocker. Not to mention, it's going to be a busy night tonight. Some really good benefits going on, including Sarah Thomas is having a benefit tonight out at the Country Club from 5 to 8. Free will donation there for a spaghetti supper and a bunch of silent auction items, including Dan, that rare opportunity.
Everybody's wish list.
Oh, it is the top of the wish list, the Friday Night Lights experience. You can join us in the broadcast booth. Become one of the broadcast team. We'll get the gear lined up, get you a headset, and get you a press pass, put you up in the press box, and then at the second half, we'll send you down the sidelines and hang out with the guys on the sidelines, and most importantly, raise some money for Sarah Thomas. The miracle, the walking miracle, Dan survived an aneurysm, and she needs a little help, and we're going to be there tonight at the Country Club. All right, we're going to take a quick time out. Come back, Coach Huber, Coach Farrington, on this playoff edition of the Coach's Corner.
Brighten your financial future with a certificate account from Community First Credit Union. For a limited time only, we're offering certificate account specials from a 9-month term with the rate of 0.90% APY to an 18-month term with the rate of 1.20% APY. Start growing your money today at CFirst. Apply online at c1stcu.com. APY is annual percentage yield, minimum balance of $15,000, rate subject to change at any time, federally insured by the NCUA.
Hi, this is Jason Summers with Summers Insurance in Albion and our new location in Sheraton on West Court across from Hy-Vee. At Summers Insurance, let our experienced staff of qualified agents help you sort through the confusion of insurance and get the coverage you need. At Summers Insurance, we have a large selection of companies to choose from so we can shop and you can save. At Summers Insurance, give us a call today, toll-free, 800-932-7163. Summers Insurance. We shop, you save.
The structure of the human body, especially the spine and its relationship to function, can be impacted by the physical nature of accidents, falls, poor posture, and injuries. Chiropractic addresses the relationship of function to a well-adjusted spine. Athletes recognize the value of a well-tuned body in all competitive sports. Dr. Mike Judge of Judge Chiropractic hopes you'll stop in if you need an adjustment to keep you in tip-top shape and wants to wish good luck to all the athletes and coaches of the Albia teams.
The McDonald's Chorizo Burrito.
The McDonald's Chorizo Burrito.
With fluffy eggs, cheese, and chorizo sausage.
With fluffy eggs, cheese, and chorizo sausage.
The only thing better than one,
the
of,
only
these
thing better than one of these
bad
boys is two of them.
Okay, I think
okay,
they get
I
it.
I think they get it.
You can stop now.
I'm going to stop now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Start your day with a real breakfast that's two times as tasty and get two chorizo burritos for just $3. Only at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Limited time offer. Price and participation may vary. Price of single item posted on menu board.
It's sweet. It's a treat. It's aromatic. It's taste buds ecstatic. It's so long summer and hello, tasty friend. It's like flying through a pumpkin patch on a leaf blower powered hayride with a goat named Leche who escaped from the petting zoo. It's the scent of the season. It's the flavor of fall. The one, the only, the autumnal for all. It's the McCafe Pumpkin Spice Latte. And it's all these things all season long. Grab one today and let your pumpkin spice season begin at McDonald's. At participating restaurants, limited time only.
Check out the great deals on quality Dakota wood products now at Menards. Save big on Dakota brand panel products, trim, molding, boards, and more. Turn any wall into a storage space with Dakota Panel Slat Wall. Great for organizing laundry rooms, workshops, and garages, it features a paintable surface plus a dense core for durability. 4x8-foot Dakota brand slat wall panels are just $34.99 each at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This year's Value Bonanza at Bowser Equipment Incorporated in Albia gives you more ways to save. It starts with Bonanza Bucks. It's like a bonus cash just for buying select New Holland tractors and equipment. And Value Bonanza savings continue with 0% financing or cash back in lieu of financing. But don't wait. The New Holland Value Bonanza ends on November the 30th. Stop by Bowser Equipment Incorporated in Albia today to discover more smart ways to save. Certain restrictions may apply. Offer ends November the 30th, 2015. See your participating New Holland dealer for details.
Slumberland Furniture special purchase deals priced so low they won't be around for long. Limited time offers and manufacturers discounts throughout the store. Dining sets, living room sets to mattress sets. Slumberland Furniture in the heart of the Heartland Square Mall, Highway 23 South, Oskaloosa.
We're live with the Coach's Corner from Community First Credit Union.
Oh my. Where does this time go, Dan Stocker? We're over halfway through, and Scotty's saying, we got to go. He took your mic off, too. You know,
yeah. I thought the show was over whenever you said it was. That's what the intro says.
Cyclone football. Really, really. All right, we got the man of the hour. Coach Farrington is in the house, and Coach, 50 points, and that was our indicator. Nostradamus over there, Stocker, said, hey, I'll bet we'll see Farrington in the morning when this offense scores 50 points. I give you a hard time, Coach. One thing I was a little sad about last night was that our freshman kids didn't get a chance to play because of the weather and you know, you guys have had a time getting teams to play against because other programs are struggling a little bit with numbers.
Yeah, it seems to be that way, and it's unfortunate because we did have a lot of freshmen this year. We played a couple of sophomore games. I think we played a couple of freshman games. I think we played three freshman games, and then we played some JV games. So it's just a mix, and if you played in all of them, you probably played in nine games, but only quarterbacks get to do that because we have a shortage of JV/freshman quarterbacks. So they're the only ones you get to play in every one of them.
Well, Dan, one of the most impressive numbers last night wasn't the 50 or the zero. It was the number of seniors that Albie had to walk across that field at the end of the game. And I give Coach Farrington a lot of credit for this because and the other JV coaches that work with those younger guys, because they make it fun,
right,
keep them involved, and they do give them a lot of playing time when they're given games to play in.
Well, now I'm going to go back to your lead-in question, there too, with 20 seniors graduating. When they were freshmen, you know, they played a full nine-game schedule as freshmen. A lot of them played JV schedule as well on Monday. So those kids, you know, as freshman year, got a lot of playing time, a lot of reps on the field, and Coach Farrington makes sure that all the kids are in there, and they're having fun that whole way through. And that, I think, helps keep those kids out. You know, you graduated 20 players. That's the most that I recall in a long, long time graduating through the football program.
His head just blew up.
Yeah, I've got to get another headset.
Right. We've got a headset stretcher. No, Coach, honestly, you know, congratulations. You do a great job. I know you make a lot of fun. That's really your guys' intent, to make it fun and give kids a lot of playing time.
Well, you know, we try to not coach just in the first dimension, which is the X's and O's. We try to go for some emotional support and also the psychological part of it in the second dimension, and that's part of it. The kids want to play, and, you know, some of them may not be quite the athletic, you know, bodies that they have when they're seniors, and you just never know. A kid like, I just use an example like Trevor Blackford. He was not an awesome football player when he was a freshman, but he was out there playing, and that gave him an opportunity to continue on playing, I think. And you know, now he is a very high quality football player, and it's carried over in the classroom and the rest too. So he's much more mature than he used to be, and we just enjoy having opportunities like that as coaches. That's why we're coaching. You know, it's not just a football thing. But it's the seeing the kids as they progress, not just as football players, but as young men.
Coach, talk about this offense. Last night, and we've seen some things we haven't seen, you know, previously. And we noticed that you guys, you could have ran the football with no discredit to Clark at all. But you could have ran the football all night. But you pull out some passing plays, different formations, different looks, and you know, I think you guys have started to scratch the surface of really this offense because we've seen a lot of different formation last several weeks or different plays.
Well, we ran a formation last night that we hadn't ran much this year, and it is a formation that we pass out a little bit more. So it's just another opportunity, another thing that the other team can get prepared for, but it's an opportunity for us to see some things on film that we can show our kids that, hey, this is what this play looks like in this formation, and this is what you need to fix, or this is what you did right. But until you see it on film, it's hard to – the kids don't see themselves in practice, obviously. We do, but – they need to see it on film so they can say, oh, yeah, I'm a little bit slow there, or, oh, yeah, I'm getting my job done right there.
You know, now we're rolling into the playoff mode. It's a short week, as we keep talking about, you know, to Wednesday for the first playoff game. How does that affect you or impact you in terms of your reps and the ability to kind of continue to stretch that playbook, or do you pull it more in and just go back to what's working, or, you know, what are some of your thoughts coming into that playoff mode and working this team?
Well, once you get rid of Saturday and Sunday, you actually have the same amount of practice time, so – just depending on what, you know, you look at the other team and then you look at what you do and where your strengths lie and where their weaknesses lie, and then you formulate your game plan and go from there. I don't know about new plays, Coach. There's still so many unknown plays I have and that Coach Staten and Coach Dykstra have in their unknown playbook. They pulled a couple of them out this week, so I don't know where that playbook is. I hope it's in a safe place someday. But
8 years, you still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I have not seen the playbook. He just comes up with stuff. So I got a couple of
plays.
They
got a sandbox that I think Coach has at home. He's something. Back in the yard with Coach Dykstra making
sketch,
the plays
maybe.
Up.
But I've got a play that I'm going to pitch today, so we'll see if that goes.
Etch a sketch, Dan. That's what Coach's mind's
rid of all
he's
the evidence.
He's a little old school, actually.
All right, Coach Huber, first off, congratulations. You know, this The running backs all year have been outstanding, and I think one of those telling tales of how hard they're working in practice and the job you're doing as a coach is Luke Sinclair last night running the football, Dan, and Tim said, you know, he looks like all the other running backs running with the football in terms of how he runs, how he gets a handoff, and that's telling you that the coaches are really getting to them the instruction so that this program runs like a program.
Yeah, I was going to say, Coach, how do you get your kids ready for that? Because, like I say, Luke is the epitome. He came in, ran just like the other guys as far as we could see. He hit the hole right. He's obviously getting his reps. How do you get all those kids so involved and engaged?
Well, we do a lot of the individual time at practice. So we get a lot of reps during the week just in individual time and work with those guys. So I can really concentrate on running the plays with the backs and get them a lot of reps. Even though we're not scrimmaging, we get a lot of reps in with them. And we get two or three groups in and run a lot of plays during practice. So they're getting coached up the whole time.
Coach Carter Isley, you know, you've been a part of 1,000-yard rushers, lots of them in this program. But Carter Isley's a pretty special athlete and football player.
Yeah, he is. And he just strives to be better. And he pushes the other backs, too, you know, and they all work well together. And they all feed off each other. And Carter, he's not necessarily a vocal leader, but his actions speak louder, and the guys follow that, and all the backs want to help him, and he's helping them, and it just makes everything work smooth.
You know, we've seen him progress as the year's gone along, from and even last year to this year, and then this year going on. How about the progression to have Brett Freshwater coming in at fullback? You know, he's oftentimes just that rammer and blocking, but when he gets the ball, he runs it really good like a tailback and has some good moves as well.
Brett has done a great job this year. He's improved every week and just keeps on getting better. You ask a lot of questions. He is really football intelligent, smart, and has done a great job of seeing stuff and coming over the board and telling us what he's seeing, and it has helped out our offense. He has really become a power blocking back, and I really enjoy that.
Well, Coach, congratulations. A great job out of you and the offense. The running back's tremendous all year through, and it's been fun to watch, and can't wait for Wednesday night.
Can't either. Thanks, Dan. Roll Demon.
There we go.
All right. Well, Dan, you know, this offense scored points, you know, all season long, but how about that scoring defense last night? Two INTs turned into TDs.
They won some games on their own.
Absolutely.
Just the defense alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Shut down defense and a couple of scores, and here's one of those scores by one little Leshen.
Tony Leshen on the INT. The River Life Family Worship Center turnover. He's trying to take this INT and turn it into a TD. Leshen, another turn. The 30. Blocks across field, 20, 15, 10. He's off to the races. Touchdown, Albia. Tony Leshen. Wow. And I'll tell you what, that was some beautiful running. He took that INT and said, no, no, no. We're going to make this into a TD in that River Life Family Worship Center touchdown on the turnover. When you need a turnover in your life, join him at the River every Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, a River Life Family Worship Center. And that.
Crop Production Services in Moravia is seeking individuals for seasonal work starting immediately. A valid driver's license is required. Class A CDL is preferred but not required. Crop Production Services is located a mile north of Moravia on Highway 5 at the former Golden Furrow location. Crop Production Services offers a great work environment along with a competitive starting wage. For more information, call 641-724-3355 or apply in person at the location on Highway 5 north of Moravia.
So, what if your roommate, we'll call him Einstein, decides to microwave a metal mixing bowl full of cookie dough and set your apartment on fire? We've got an agent for that.
Contact me, State Farm Agent Wendell Campbell, at 807 A Avenue West in Oskaloosa. Let me help you save more money, because being there is why I'm here. Like a good
looking to buy your first home? With the help of Community First Credit Union's First Time Home Buyers Program, you can achieve your dream of home ownership without the traditional expenses associated with a mortgage loan. We're offering 30-year fixed-rate mortgage loans, up to $2,500 of grant assistance, lower interest rates, and fewer fees. There's never been a better time to make CFirst your first choice for a mortgage. Apply online, stop in, or call your local branch today. Terms and qualifications apply. For additional information, call 866-360-5370. Equal opportunity lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Oakwood Nursing and Rehab Center, located on the southern edge of Albia, provides the community with a professional approach to 24-hour nursing services with individualized care plans and activity calendar. We offer an activities calendar complete with religious services, arts and crafts, and monthly trips to surrounding counties. It is our goal at Oakwood Nursing and Rehab Center to match your loved one's interests and needs to provide a complete continuum of quality care. Call us today at 641-932-7105.
The structure of the human body, especially the spine and its relationship to function, can be impacted by the physical nature of accidents, falls, poor posture, and injuries. Chiropractic addresses the relationship of function to a well-adjusted spine. Athletes recognize the value of a well-tuned body in all competitive sports. Dr. Mike Judge of Judge Chiropractic hopes you'll stop in if you need an adjustment to keep you in tip-top shape and wants to wish good luck to all the athletes and coaches of the Albia teams.
We're live with the Coach's Corner from Community First Credit Union.
We're on the run here this morning, playoff edition, as we head into the playoffs. Perfect football season for Albia on the regular season. A perfect season for the Mohawks just 9 miles south, Dan. And we've got the head coach, Denny Whitlow, on the line for the Mohawks. And congratulations, Coach Whitlow, a perfect regular season for you guys, and you have sprung your way into the playoffs.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jason. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's an exciting time to be a Mohawk, and, start getting the boys ready for Wednesday, and they're pretty excited about it. Can't wait for it to get here.
And, Coach Whitlow, you've got the number 4 seed out of District 7, Murray, on the schedule here. Have you had a chance to do any looking at them, or what do you know about Murray? I know they're 3-6 record, but beyond that, what do you know about them?
They played Mormon Trail earlier this year, and we had a game film from that earlier this year whenever we traded game films. So we have got to see them, but, at that point in time, I was really focused on Mormon Trail, wasn't watching Murray. A couple of people I've talked to, they said they kind of like to sling the ball around a lot, short little dump passes, and then they'll try to hit you on a big one. So, we haven't seen a whole lot of that this year, so our boys are going to have to be ready for that, and just something different that we haven't seen a whole lot of. But I think our boys are ready. They're fired up, and we'll find out Wednesday night.
Coach Denny Whitlow, the head coach of the Moravia Mohawks. Coach, I think about this the senior class for you. And, Coach, after that last great run you had, I think it was 4 years ago, you really graduated a lot of seniors, and then the next year you had a lot of freshmen had to step in and play for you, and they took their lumps. And yet these guys have really stayed together, improved, and, Coach, now they get to pay the dividends for all that hard work and maybe for some of the scars they had to face in the past.
Yeah, 4 years ago, like I said, that was our last year that we, made the playoffs and had a pretty solid season. And these boys were eighth graders at that point in time. And then when they came up as freshmen, like you were saying, they got thrown into the fire right away. A lot of them did. And Briar Cochran, he had to be our quarterback as a freshman, and Briar probably didn't even weigh 100 pounds at that point in time. Didn't have much of a line to protect him. Avery Waybell was playing defensive back, and Avery wasn't much bigger than Breyer at the time. And Trevor Cormier, he was stepping in there and was playing some special teams and kind of going from there. And those three, and then Alex Boyd, he started as a sophomore for us on the line. And Sam Clausen, he started to have to play some as a sophomore. And Sam's not a very big kid either, and he got a concussion his sophomore year just from playing kids that basically were just, he was outmatched. He was just oversized. So these kids to stick it out, and, get to where they're at now and to look back 4 years ago where we're at and where we came from there, it's just, shows the heart and dedication these boys have had these 4 years. And I couldn't be more proud of these five senior boys that we have.
Well, Coach, congratulations. I know you are on your way to district meetings. I think you guys are going to pick your district all team and go over those selections.
Yeah, that's where I'm headed right now, to Twin Cedars. We have our all-district meeting at 10 o'clock, so I'm heading that way. And hopefully, our hard work this year, shows, and we get a lot of boys on the all-district team.
Well, Coach, congratulations. Perfect regular season, and we're looking forward to watching you guys throughout the season. We'll check in with you on Wednesday night, and congratulations, and go get some boys selected for your all-district team. I know they're very deserving.
Hey, thanks a lot. And I'd like to just give a shout-out one more time to my coaching staff, Brian Bickle, my defensive coordinator. Brian's been with me ever since I've been a head coach at Moravia. He's done an excellent job with the defense this year. Mike Gray's been my offensive line coach for the last 8 years, and the boys love him, and Mike does a great job with them. And then we brought Bracken Smith, our former quarterback, for 5 years ago, our last undefeated team. He came back this year. He's back around, and got him on staff with our D-backs, quarterbacks, and he's done an awesome job too. So I just like to give a shout out to them.
Well, congratulations. Great group of guys down there, Dan. They're a lot of fun, and Coach Bickle is one of my buddies. He's a great guy, and all those guys do a great job. And congratulations, Coach Denny Whitlow, the Moravia Mohawks. And they, Dan, they did not back in. They sprinted into the playoffs, buddy.
And that's what you got to like as a coach, that they didn't take any games off, and they charged hard. And, big win last night. And so they're going in the playoffs with the right attitude and the right mentality. And so hopefully they put together that great game plan, and they'll take care of Murray on Wednesday and be looking for a follow-up game the week after.
Speaking of sprinting in, I think I just had Coach Stringfellow, Coach Bill, have just sprung in, and he's got some sweat with him. All right, we're going to take a timeout, come back. We're also going to catch up with Coach Todd Ratliff. He's going to join us on the phone line. How about the state championship for our 7th grade?
That's
pretty
awesome.
Cool stuff. All right, you're listening to the Coach's Corner on this edition of the playoffs. When we come back, we've got the cross-country team in the house and on the phone when we return to the Coach's Corner.
Dewey Motor Company in Albia is in need of your trade-ins.
That's right. Dewey Motor Company is paying top dollar for your trade-ins. Now's the perfect time to trade in your vehicle and get into a new one.
Plus, all new vehicles are tagged with the lowest price possible.
If you're thinking about a new vehicle and want to snag the best deal around, save some cold, hard cash and get the best trade-in for yours, get to Dewey Motor Company in Albia, your local Chevy and Buick dealer one block south of the Albia Square. Visit DUEAMotor.com.
Are you always looking for more room in your refrigerator? Whirlpool French door refrigerators offer you the space you need. Whirlpool's innovative micro-edge shelves contain leaks and spills while featuring a sleek, seamless edge design for 25% more usable shelf space. While the indoor ice system creates extra room in the refrigerator by storing ice in the door, the AccuFresh dual cooling system keeps all your fresh and frozen foods tasting great for longer by maintaining proper humidity and temperature levels in the refrigerator and freezer compartments. Panoramic LED lighting even makes finding items in your refrigerator easier by surrounding food with light from every angle. So stop in today at Mick Furniture and Appliance on the west side of the square in Albia to see their entire line of Whirlpool brand appliances. And don't forget all their other great brands like Lazy Boy, Tempur-Pedic, Southern Motion, and England, and many more.
This is an exciting time of year for all of us at Gardner Collier Jewelry as we are having our double discount sale. All Seiko and Pulsar watches are now 20% off with an extra 10% savings. Gold chains, yellow and white gold, are double discounted also, 20% off with an additional 10% savings. Save today at Gardner Collier Jewelry. Layaway for Christmas, Gardner Collier Jewelry, Quincy Place Mall, Ottumwa, and Penn Central Mall, Oskaloosa.
Brighten your financial future with a certificate account from Community First Credit Union. For a limited time only, we're offering certificate account specials from a 9-month term with the rate of 0.90% APY to an 18-month term with the rate of 1.20% APY. Start growing your money today at CFirst. Apply online at c1stcu.com. APY is annual percentage yield, minimum balance of $15,000, rate subject to change at any time, federally insured by the NCUA.
We're live with the Coach's Corner from Community First Credit Union.
Welcome back to the Coach's Corner on this busy Saturday morning here as we break down so much information. But we got to go right to the phone lines because we're on the run here this morning. And a guy that's probably very jealous that he didn't run in here this morning, and that's Coach Todd Ratliff. Buddy, got to tell you, Coach Bill and Coach Stringfellow just sprinted in here. So, and they're sweating, and I know that's something that you probably a little envious of right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm standing still watching some soccer, so it's not all bad. I'll get a run in here in a little bit, but right now it's time to watch the boys play soccer.
Well, Coach, run for us quickly. Congratulations on the state title, but run through that real quickly for us and break it down.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty fun. Each year they have, it's called the Washburn Classic. It's the middle school state cross-country meet. It's open to all teams, so all 96 2A teams had the opportunity to go up and go there. We had a group of 6th, 7th grade boys who've been running hard all season, and we took the opportunity to take them up there just to get them the experience and have fun. And once we got up there, their excitement, I was actually, the day before, I ran a race out in Muskegon, Michigan, so J.D. Anderson and I drove through most of the night, early morning, showed up, and Kim had brought the boys up there. Got out on the course, and they just all had a great day. It's amazing when runners peak at the right time at the right meet. And all 6 of those kids had their PR. Landon Noe led the group to a second place overall state finish, just 2 seconds behind the winner. He ran the 2-mile course in 11:58. He was followed by Brock Ratliff. So pretty proud moment for Dad there. He came in 4th place at 12 minutes even for a 2-mile. Then we had Max Tino, had a great run. He was sub-13. Travis Sheffield was at 13:17. And then David Fisher and Gage Schaefer were right at the 13:30 mark. So when all the points were tallied up, we scored fewer points than any of the other teams. So it was really, really nice. They have a banner that they get to take their picture in front of while holding a state championship plaque. So just an amazing day for some kids who've worked hard. Most of those kids have been running since the end of May, 1st of June. You know, and we try to, at that level especially, keep it fun, and they just kept coming back day after day. So ended a great cross-country season for the junior high program.
Congratulations, Coach Todd Ratliff, 7th grade state championship. Good stuff there, Coach. Hey, Coach, we'll look forward to getting you on here, and you can come run with us and then come in and get on the air. So, you know, we're not trying to make you jealous, but they're sweaty. So congratulations, Coach.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jason.
All right, got Coach Chrissy Stringfellow and Coach Bill here. And Coach Stringfellow, first of all, congratulations. You know, another good season for Albia Cross Country and your first year at the helm.
Yeah, we had a pretty good season here this year. We were we just ran our district meet over at Columbus Junction on Thursday, and I think we had 5 guys out of the 7 have PRs, personal record, this season, and I think we had 3 of our girls have personal records. So 8 out of the 14 kids ran their best race at districts on Thursday.
You know, on the girls' side, I certainly want to focus on just what I think is just an incredible runner, and Jordan Winkie. She's just performed at a high level for all her career, but boy, this year it's just fun watching her run. Talk about her meet. You know, she came in 2nd, I know, but yet she's capable of more. What's kind of her goal? What's her realistic goal at the state meet next Saturday? You know, what do you think she can run? What how's that course set up for? What's kind of the sights for her?
Looking so far, the other night she did come in 2nd to the Williamsburg girl, which we knew that Julie came in Jordan ran against Julie at the Oskaloosa meet, and Julie kind of had some health issues, and Jordan ended up beating her there at that Oski meet. So coming into this, we knew that that would be the one that Jordan had to get around, and she, Julie actually took it with 18:47, and Jordan came in at 19:20. Not Jordan's best race. So this week we'll focus on the things that where she felt she went wrong. Did she come out too fast? Did we, at what mile? Do we think that she's not feeling very well? So those are the things that we'll focus on this next week coming into state. But looking through, Jordan's been in the low 19:11, I think, has been her best race so far this year. I think she's obviously wanting to get under that sub-19 for next week. And she's definitely been training. Her training started the first part of June. And so that's kind of been her goal, is to be under that for next week.
And then real quickly, staying on the girls' side, I want to give a shout-out to all the rest of the girls that competed, because I think they've continued to get better each and every meet and race. And give them a quick plug, because they put a lot of effort in as well.
Yeah, we had a great some girls joined us this year as sophomores that have never ran any distance of any kind other than a little bit of a 400 or 800 on a track. But we had Erin Heaton end up being our number two for us. And Erin Heaton had her personal record the other day at 22:45. So starting the season, you know, she was pushing 28, 29 minutes. So she's taken a tremendous amount of time. She's actually found she's got that competitive drive in her, and she doesn't like to get beat. So she had a heck of a kick at the end of the district meet the other night and came through for us. The next one was Hannah Isley. Hannah's, pretty good track runner. We just sure had some girls come in knowing how to run. We just had to teach them how to race. So Hannah Isley came through, not her best, but within about 11 seconds of her. So she was a low 23-minuter. Michelle Manser is a senior, and she battled a knee injury early in the season, and so she's been recovering from that. She did. She ran with us at conference and did not finish that race. So this last week, our whole focus was, can you make 3.1 miles? We have to have our top five girls making that. She said, I'll do everything I can. She did. She came through at a 24:04, so pretty decent. Was our number four for us at district. Jenna McCarty has been dealing with a hip issue all season, but still has. You know, she's a pace girl. She's got some distance. Able to do that. She came through. She had her personal record the other day. And then our number six and number seven was Liz DeTar and Jane DeBus, both of them personal records. They both knew that it came down to them and displacing scoring. So those were our girls this week. And like I said, out of those, we had five of those seven having their personal records.
That's impressive. You know, that's what you strive for as a coach. So what's on the docket here? What's next for the ladies?
Well, Jordan's going to next week, we've got Jordan's the individual going up to state. The girls took six the other night, so you have to rank in the top three at the district meet in order to go to state. So we took six. Looking through, Jordan will race next week. We're up at Fort Dodge as the state meet, and it looks like she'll be running at 1 o'clock and for the girls 2A as an individual. And it's at Lakeside Municipal Golf Course there in Fort Dodge, which is a nice little travel for us.
Well, congratulations. Really, the personal records are, you know, that's a great indication that the girls have gotten better throughout the season. And it sounds like they struggled with some injuries, too, which kind of poor timing. And you know how hard, you know, these kids, it's a lot of work. And breaking down the, you know, our body says, you know, running's hard. And until you get out there and get those endorphins working. But to come through and fight through some injuries and get your personal records, a great job out of the ladies. Coach Bill, talk about the guys. How'd things go for the boys' cross-country team?
First of all, I want to just comment on Michelle a little bit. For those that have followed our program over the years, remember Michelle was a two-time state individual qualifier as a freshman and sophomore. She just missed it last year. And what Chrissy was saying, you know, she got hurt early in the season. I believe it was the third meet of the season. So when we're doing 10 meets and she misses 7 meets, that's, you know, three weeks off is a big time for runners. Usually after about 2 weeks off, that you've pretty well gone back to zero and you got to start over. So we have been working with Michelle for the last week trying to get her back into condition. I just guarantee you that the competitor she is, if we'd had another week and a half worth of conditioning on her, she very likely would have been in that top 15 with us. So you know, just a shout out to she's one of my buddies, so I wanted to
well, she's been such an important part of the program, and you know, it breaks your heart when you have a senior, particularly somebody who's had so much promise, and you know, with the chance to go back to state, and she's that kind of runner. She's, you know, she's one of the elite runners, and you know, you also think about how she could help push Jordan too, you know, to have that kind of competition. So But how the guys shape up on Thursday night?
Boys, Lee Kern ended up qualifying as an individual. Lee actually did his PR on Thursday when we was talking about where I thought he needed to be at. Lee had been running 19-minute stuff most of the season, and I said, today this is the time when you have to play hard. The old saying of the fat lady sings or you go home, I said, this is that time. This is the big show, the opera, and I said, it's going to take you an 18-minute or today to get in if you want to get in. So with where he's been running all season, he's progressed down, and I said, you know, give me 35 seconds better today than what you ran last week at conference because of the hills, and I said, you got a chance. Well, he went a minute faster. So Lee ended up placing 13th for us, which the top 15 individuals go this year, so great for him.
I'm sneaking over looking at the sheet here you brought with you, Coach, and I see PR, and PR stands for personal records, and I look and I see, you know, you got a list of guys with personal records, and Dan's not going to bring it up. He won't talk about it because it's his son, and he's, you know, he's that kind of guy. But I'm going to bring up Cameron Stocker, you know, personal record.
Cameron, another one of our seniors. I talked to Cameron last night, too. I was asking him, I said, well, Cameron, what did you feel? Did you fulfill your goals for this year? Well, yes, I did. He said, I did my personal record last night. I said, I know you did. I'm proud of you. I said, I remember when you came in as a sophomore, you came in to run with us for basketball, which we get a lot of that. The kids that, well, I'm trying to get in shape for something else. And I said, and Coach Ratliff and I was all right with that because you was contributing to the team. I said, as a junior, you came in, you got varsity like the first meet of the season, and then we had some other kids step up, and you kind of got pushed down to the wayside. But I said, you continue to improve. This year, you got your varsity spot. You held on to it. You've moved up from the number 7 to he was the number 5 the other night. Like I said, he has taken minutes off of his time. Just in the last 2 weeks, I've been commenting on how he's been opening up on his stride. He's going downhill. I mean, he just lights up when I talk about it because, you know, it's making him proud of the accomplishments that he's done. And he has helped the team so much. Like I said, he's the number 5 the other night. That's one of the 5 that count towards points, towards team score. So, tremendous.
Well, congratulations, Caleb Bully. A great run. Lane Szczynski, I think Lane is going to he's going to have some huge days ahead of him as well. And Jacob Fisher, a personal record as well. So, congratulations to the guys. And, Coach, you guys ran in here, and we got to run out of here. We have done a very poor job of managing our time here this morning.
That's odd.
Imagine that.
That is odd.
But we want to congratulate you. Another great season for both the boys and girls cross-country teams, Coach, and another guy. Got a couple more guys with personal records. And Cole Folkerts. How about that? Cole Folkerts, personal record. And Cameron Jordan. So congratulations. I know you guys have a lot of fun with the guys, and 8 miles in this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Short one.
Dan and I talked 8 miles this morning. We have enjoyed having you along on this Coach's Corner. Albia plays Iowa Falls Wednesday night. Don't forget the Sarah Thomas preview. And then Summers Car Credit is having a bash today or tonight as well up in Oskaloosa. It's going to be a great night to raise some money. Bring gloves or a hat and be a part of a Rocktoberfest at Summers Car Credit at 6 o'clock in Oskaloosa.